Peace, family, is 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have Smart Moss, Sports Moss, Vitamin C Moss, Colloidal Silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater.
Two decades ago, when it was documented he was doing this. Dame Dash speaks very thoroughly about this regarding Lil when he was dating Lil. You know, and 20 years later, you know, we're still talking about it. Number two, I did the homework and I found out the stats regarding rape and molestation. And it showed that 66% of the rape in this country come from white men and white women. And 13% of the 100% comes from black people in this country. So I'm just trying to figure out why is all through the media, all I see is Bill Cosby, all I see is R. Kelly, all I see is whoever else. And when the white men are doing Jackson. It. Never do a documentary on Michael Jackson. And all I'm saying is, you know, white men is doing this at a higher number. Why do I not see any white men on the media? Why are they not going out of their way to do documentaries on that?
Here on the Catholic Church.
My point.
White men are the purveyors of it. They are the number one predators of it and pedophiles of
facts.
It. And if you look at the current narrative of what's being propagated out there is that they're trying to fix the situation and make it look like black men are the predators.
Facts.
And black men are the pedophiles. And that's why it's dangerous, especially in a court of opinion where a person doesn't, and I'm not, you know, directly speaking on R. Kelly, but does anyone in this new climate doesn't actually have to be guilty, they just have to be accused.
Right.
And that does enough damage already. And so already black men are facing multitude of degrading things against our reputation and our character, and adding this one to the list as if it vilifies all black men is dangerous, and people have to be dangerous in feeding into the narratives and allowing it to become a bigger frenzy than the specific case that it is, which is, you know, that person doing it rather than this is all persons doing it.
Right.
And so, of course, at a time, our culture was guilty of, if he's guilty, I think I heard Dr. Wesley say this, then the culture is guilty because we allowed this to continue. And the worst thing in the black community is our silence. You know, when there are things that happen in the household, you know, there may be things that happen in child cares and schools and with ministers and preachers.
Right.
Our silence is our admission of guilt.
Right.
But it does not make us the face of that sexual deviation, because that is not our nature. That is a perversion that has been created within us being in America as we take on some of the habits of the white man or just being in this American system. Because, as I said, they are the number one, you know, sex slave drivers and pedophiles in the West since the Roman days, where it was a natural practice for a white man to mentor a young boy and then just have him by his side as they practice pedestry. Yeah. And so, you know, I want people to be able to control the narrative and not feed into it, because black men are those who are in the midst of nature of putting women on the side, and the white man always put the boy next to him because he is a natural pedophile.
And one thing I like to always add is the self-improvement piece whenever it comes to the news. It's funny to hear that. Because a lot of times, you know, when I do my current events, even when I had my old YouTube channel before it was terminated, whenever I talk about current events, I always give a solution to the problem. Because oftentimes,
Jesus, Allison, we good.
I was saying I always try to give a solution to the problem or a preventative thing that we could have done to prevent it. Because oftentimes we just feed into the propaganda, or we just put out all the bad things. And Dr. Wesley even talked about how that affects our testosterone, and all we do is continue to see us lose in the media. So whenever I see things like this R. Kelly situation, I try to see how can I see this as a lesson. Because like Antoine said, and many other people have said on social media, we've been knowing it. Not only have he been talking about it in his music, other people that I won't name have been talking in their music as well. And it's like, we saw it as something as a norm. So to me, looking at this situation, something that got big over time, that's how we need to look at our individual problems. We all have individual problems that we are ignoring. We all have individual problems that we know are killing us. It may not be physically, but it may be mentally and spiritually that will lead to an untimely physical death. Mm-hmm. So if we have anything that we know we're doing wrong, then we need to correct it in ourselves. If you got something in your brother, it may not be rape, but it may be something that's a sin of not fulfilling your purpose. I think that's a sin.
Yeah.
God then gave us all these gifts, and you're going to rob the people from your gift that God gave you.
Come
so
on,
that's
bro.
A sin as well.
Come on,
so
bro.
I believe when we look at this R. Kelly situation, that's not just say lock them up, because you should also lock yourself up for not fulfilling fulfilling your dream and doing what you're supposed to do. So I always try to have the self-improvement piece into it. Mm-hmm. And to me, this lesson is don't let something continue to go on and on, because just like the Bible, when you see it in the Bible, the snake was just a little snake in the beginning, but by the end time, it was a big dragon because nobody checked it. So when it came, all three came amongst the Lord. It said then one was the devil. Well, how did they know it was the devil? Because they have Satan at that time had made evil for a semen. Well, you can't tell which one is God, which one is the son of God, which one is the devil, because we be so passive sometimes that we let things slide.
Mm. So, and that kind of goes with the pick of the choosing, pick of the choosing. So basically just saying that when something, when you see something, just don't overlook it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then also just on
and this topic. I say it because we got that, you know, I'm not going to say black people got it bad, but I'm just, I've seen it in our culture where we just overlook certain things. Like, we accept this, but we won't accept that. We accept this, but we don't accept that.
And not to derail from the topic, but just on the whole agenda of why this could be in the midst in the air is, you know, they're doing the whole pedosexual thing where they're pushing to have that as a sexual orientation.
Of course they are.
And so, you know, if the narrative can be that R. Kelly's sexual orientation or Michael Jackson's sexual orientation was that he, you know, he had a pedophile's nature, and they can propagate that, especially using the entertainer as the poster boy for it, then it can normalize it in the future to where that can become a sexual orientation. And so awareness can always be used against us, because as people become vastly aware of so many different things, it allows you to easier impression the people. Like, I always use this analogy: if a robot walked down the street, we would only trip over for like 5 minutes and then go about our day. And because we have so much now information and we're so aware of so many different things, it's easier to program and impression the people with bigger ideas and new ideas. When at first somebody heard an idea like this and they was all ready to kill their congressman. You know what I mean? Blow up buildings. Like, this is the reason terrorism started back in the day. Now, we may just get mad for a second, and then later on down the line, because we already thought that this was the normal, it's easier for us to accept when we want to push the envelope on us. You know what I mean? So it's just dangerous when you allow, you know, you yourself to be so conscious, aware of everything, but it's no shock factor for when things that should cultivate and drive for you to be against them now just have you accepting it.
Man, that's deep right there, bro.
It's very deep.
It's like a smoke. It's a smoke screen for what's coming, right? Oh, it's just a smoke screen for what's coming. It's kind of sad, man, how we don't unite as men. Like, regardless of what religion you are, what you subscribe to, like, right, in my opinion, right is just right. I'm not accepting no pedophilia under no circumstances, period. That's just my personal opinion. And that's my personal conviction that I cannot accept it under no circumstances, period. It can be normal all over the world. I would still be against it.
I was told that there's a body of water that is still today that nothing can live in it, because somebody very powerful destroyed two cities behind sodomy, pedophilia, homosexuality, and many other things. So, you know, you ain't gotta, you know, I think common sense should just reign. I don't think it's an opinion. I think it's just common sense. And when you try to make unnatural natural, you know, you're just full of stupidity. My fact.
But if you look at it like this, right, in the 70s, 60s, or even 80s, I guess, if you seen a drag queen or two men walking down the street holding hands, people would be in awe. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's happening over there? Like, it would shock you. Mm-hmm. And you, in your mind, you would think that you would never see full parades of it, and you would never see it in entertainment, movies, music, the whole nine.
Yo, I'm black man.
Fast forward in today's time, it's normalized. Not only is it normalized, they have power. So what you think may be crazy now can just be oppression into the people, and then it will become a reality if it's accepted.
Yeah.
So everything that you may think is crazy, like, no, that can't happen, people can be conditioned to accept whatever they're fed. Mm-hmm. And that's the most dangerous thing.
I'm going to tell y'all something happened to me yesterday, man. I know it's going to be crazy. For the first time, you know, I got my workout class, right? I had a transsexual in my class yesterday. I had a transsexual in my workout class. But watch this. So me, you know, I'm an alpha, period, right? So, and I always greet everybody that come to my workout class. So,
I'm laughing because you looked at you like that.
I know. But this is the thing. And I've had this experience more than one time. I purposely went over to the dude, because you're a man. My workout class called Trap Feeling with Pretty Girls. You're not a pretty girl. I guess you was not a girl. Okay. So the dude, I walk up to him on purpose, because I greet everybody in my workout class, especially if they visit. And so he can listen, I know. Dr. Allison, you should be watching us. You should not be calling me. Allison.
You got an idiot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
My bad, man, my bad. I keep bending on the listen, and so like I say, and I do this on purpose. So dude, I walk up to him, and I've had this experience more than one time. Dude could not look me in my eyes. I purposely, I stuck my hand out there. Did like that, and could not look me in my eyes. I was looking him dead in his eyes.
Somebody would be dying.
Listen, he could not look me. Allison.
You call him from somebody else's phone.
You got a
number? Don't.
Number
about her? Nah, I don't know about her. It's on the screen. I can't give a number out on the phone. I ain't, man.
No, you can. Yeah.
Jesus. Allison.
Go ahead with your spirit.
Y'all, I apologize, y'all. One of my business partners had, I called her before we did the show, and she keeps calling me. She keeps calling me, so I apologize. But listen, let's move forward. Like I said, the dude could not look me in my eyes, and I've had the experience with more than one transsexual person that when I approach them as a man, they can't never look me in my eyes. I don't. Because my thing is, if you were so confident in what you were doing so right, why you just can't look a man in the eye?
Then the argument on the reverse side, you know I ain't rocking with, but then they can say regular men won't come with us guys. Nah, they look with your insecurities for whatever case may be.
You say what?
That regular men tend to not be able to look certain men in the eyes either. I'm just saying for an argument sake. So
I'm just saying that. That's been my experience. I'm talking about my experience. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying my experience. If y'all were so confident that what your lifestyle is so right, why you can't just.
Oh, I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying? That's something I've never understood, bro. They say you like Malcolm X or something?
No, it's a dude named Malcolm X.
Oh, okay. All right, let's talk about the whole Steve Harvey thing, man, because I don't really know too much about it. But, Doc, 19 Keys, you want to talk about that real quick?
It's a case of, integrity versus character. And on the side of character, Monique was saying that we allow money to get in the way of integrity.
Oh, come on, bro. Just copying.
Steve Harvey was saying basically, he was willing to sacrifice integrity to get to the money, if I can sum it up in such small terms. And, Monique.
I got it. Yeah. I'm down on it. You want a voicemail right now?
Jesus.
Hold on. Gotta try again.
That's the last time, folks. We back in the game.
I'm sorry.
So Monique was saying that, Steve, I'm right, and I stand on truth regardless of situation and circumstances.
Right.
The truth should venerate and validate everything that I do, and if you know that I'm truthful, you should stand on my side regardless, because truth should be able to stand against falsehood in any situation. And Steve Harvey was basically saying that, no, it's the way that you do it, and sometimes you basically have to sacrifice integrity to get what you want. And so, it's very dangerous, the conversation that they was having openly in public. Because there's going to be people on the side of let's just get money. And so there's young people and other people alike, they'll be impression on Steve's side because the audience was clapping when Steve was talking.
Right.
That basically was saying that, no, you're right, you can sacrifice a charity to get to the check. And we see that happen in our culture all the time, which is the side of truth, which is individuals like ourselves may stand on. When you get truthful, you end up having to sacrifice, and sacrifice is a currency, to be able to buy what you want in the long term, you understand me? But a lot of people want that short-term success and they're willing to sacrifice integrity, and this sort of goes into, I think, our whole climate today, our whole culture is really either caught up in between integrity, character, or getting them a check. And there's too many people today willing to sacrifice their integrity to get them a check, and that's why boycotts don't work. That's why our celebrities are not great people to follow. That's why everybody is able to spin and use a narrative of today to get where they want to.
Right.
And I always tell people it's the difference between their character and intelligence. because the Unmissable Farquhar said, you know, character without intelligence make a devil without a man. And if you look at the modern day celebrity, they may have PR people that tell them when to talk about certain conscious subjects. Or they may have, you know, an artist that may throw in keywords talking about consciousness or woke society or woke industry today, because they realize that their fans are becoming more smarter. They're listening to brothers like Ben X. They're listening to brothers like yourself. Listening to brothers like myself and the shifters and things of that nature. And so now their awareness is growing. So in order to keep them entertained and captivated, then that means you're going to have to throw in keywords that now affix where their mind is. But that's dangerous because their character might not match nothing that they're saying. Mm. They're just intelligent to know what to use, but they don't actually have the character saying that I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, in order to actually see this movement outward or upward. And the people that does the real work are the ones who end up suffering, because you end up going with the entertainer instead of the person that's actually doing the grassroots work. So character versus intelligence, I think, and integrity was the whole conversation with Monique and Steve Harvey.
To add to that, I think that's very important, man, to keep the integrity and, most importantly, your character, because that's what lives on after our physical death. Many of us heard about eternal life, and eternal life is not about our finite bodies, but about our infinite or infinite wisdom or truth that we stand on.
Right.
The Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said that we live on forever, because as long as the truth is here, and we, as long as we stand on that truth, we'll be here as well. That's why we still talk about Tupac. That's why we still talk about Marcus Garvey. That's why we still talk about Malcolm X, because they stood on truth, and we're still able to benefit on the truth that they pretty much gave to us. But if you sell your soul for money, then it's really not even worth it, because the dollar is not even worth it. That's why it's so important for us to understand that the paper that we have is really fiat money. It's not really valuable. The only reason it's valuable is because we believe it has value.
True.
That's why I have a course called Our Money, because I believe we as human beings is the greatest resource. I believe us as human beings is the greatest asset. I said if you chase the God within yourself, chase the gifts within yourself, and that paper money will chase you. So, like, for example, me and 19 Keys or any of us that travel, we can go to a city, and because of the work we're doing, somebody will let me stand at home. Mm-hmm. Somebody will drive me. Somebody will pay for my food. I don't have to give them physical or the paper money, but I gave them value because of the word that I spoke. Yes. I gave them value because of the what I've given them out of what God has given me. So I think it's very important for us to understand the integrity over money and why it's so important, because so many young people think that money makes them better.
Oh, that's
yes,
nice.
They may put you in a different tax bracket, but it don't really make you a man. It don't really make you who you really think you are. It's just an illusion. That's why when people get this money, when they get this money, they hit the lotto. You may be a millionaire, but that don't change who you really are as a human being, because
right.
A lot of people not even prepared to use that money.
Right.
So I think, man, a lot of times, man, even when we beef with one another, you hear us on social media, I got more money than you, though. You know, I ain't worried about that. I got more. You ain't got no bread. So
right.
What? What that mean? Because somebody can give you money. You can find money, but you can't find integrity.
Mm.
You can find money, but you can't find character.
Mm-hmm.
You can find money, but you can't find being the man. So that's why it's important for us to understand and not feed the youth this go get money,
right.
money thing, but then not show them the character on the other side.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I was going to, you know, take what y'all got going on there and kind of go a different direction, because the one thing this reminds me of is what I've been watching, the movie Roots. When Kunta Kinte first came to America and came on the plantation, you know, mentally he was still a free man, right? And as they're pulling him on the plantation, he is seeing all these Africans, you know, plowing the land, but it was only one slave master.
Mm.
And mentally, he even adds, because the dude who was bringing them on was a fellow black man, scared for his life, right? And Kunta is like, and there's only one? Why ain't nobody running?
Mm-hmm.
Why ain't nobody fighting? Why ain't nobody doing anything?
That's what Kanye was trying to say.
Man, listen, and when I saw him on two eyes, though it's a movie, it hit home, because they was like the white man said, you know, you wasn't brought here a slave, you was made a slave.
Mm.
So everybody who was plowing the field was condemned.
And as the movie progressed, unfortunately, Kunta got conditioned as well. And was hard not to be conditioned with that being the environment. So fast forward and back today, it's I don't know, man. Steve Harvey got a lot to work on, even in his 60s, bro. Because you like when you're black, dude, and you have any bit of knowledge of who your people were and what we came from and what our ancestors came from, I think the second you start to understand and it starts to click, you have to do your part, do your share, rather little or large. And for Steve to get on national TV and tell a whole audience, black, white, pink, purple, and green, that it is okay to compromise what you is for money. You know,
remember he met with Trump? Mm-hmm. Everybody was against
but you, but watch this. Hold on, watch this. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think meeting with Trump is a bad thing because it could be good dialogue if the right person was there to meet with. But see, but here's what happened. Donald Trump ain't gonna meet with somebody that's validated.
Right.
Trump ain't gonna meet with a Lewis Burke.
He
already know the time. You follow me. He's not gonna meet with somebody with a backbone.
Which also inherently makes him meeting with him wrong in the first place because he know he wasn't the type of person that was gonna get any.
Well, now, if that's the perspective, then I will rock with that. You know, but you know, to get on TV and tell a whole national audience, okay, to compromise what you stand for morally and your integrity for a paycheck. Brother, you're wrong, Kenfo. And what else would you do?
Hold on, say real quick. Did y'all see the video? Because I know Robert Powell, he posted, he's a pretty well documented, decorated comedian. His name is Robert Powell.
Right.
He posted a video on Instagram of Steve Harvey, and he posted in the caption, he's spoken into existence.
He said, I'll be a monkey.
For $1 million, I'll swing you from a tree and I'll do all these sort of different things.
Right.
And that's the sad part is that he was letting us know then he was revealing his character back then, but we didn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And then now that he's spoken into existence, came to life. That's why us as guys, you have to be very careful about what you let come out of your mouth. I don't know why people still overlook those specific things, because even in the music, going back to kind of what Brother Ben was talking about, the narrative in the music now is get the bag, secure the bag, get the bag. But nobody talks about character. Nobody talks about integrity. You see what I'm saying? Even with a lot of these dudes, see, I'm a street dude, but we're not going to talk about that aspect of it. But when I heard dudes always talking about finessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 9 times out of 10, when you finesse somebody, I mean you're getting over on them or you're stealing from them. That's not being real. You call yourself real, but you out here finessing. Why would you consider yourself real when you get, cause see, if you finesse somebody back in the 80s, you're gonna end up, your mama gonna have a black suit. You see what I'm saying? Real dudes don't finesse their plug, but that's a whole other topic. You stay loyal, you be dedicated to whoever you dedicated to. But it's just to say that these young men are being preached to, that you get money by any means. And that means even if you compromise your character, if you compromise everything that you stand on, get the money. And that's the same thing Steve Harvey was saying.
Right.
And it's a shame that we're being conditioned. And that's why men, let's go back to this, that's why men, real stand-up men who have a standard is so important in raising our young men.
That's actually what I was going to actually talk about. Me and Brother Jabril had a similar conversation with Dr. Weston. 19 it was about the brothers not even knowing what the standard should be. So when we talk about being real, their aspect of being real is being a real nigga. So if I rob somebody, I'm a real nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do something slimy, that makes me real. But it's not a lot of times it's not their fault. They just don't know what real is. They don't know what the image is of being actually real.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to come in contact with a lion.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? They gotta come in contact with a real man so they can have an example of what the standard actually is.
True.
And when it comes to Steve Harvey, that's why I believe being free from the white man mentally first is important. Why? Because if you're not free from him mentally, but then you may get a little money, you still not free. You just a rich nigga now.
Bro.
See, you're a $40 million slave. So, for example, there was a brother who called me one time, and he said, Brother B,
produces love for self, and love for self produces respect for self. The Bible says what? Perfect love casts out all fear. Now see, now because you don't have proper love for yourself, that's why you fearing the white man. Mm. Because you don't have the proper knowledge of self, you fear your enemy. So even with the millions of dollars that you have, you can't even separate. Even with the multi-million dollars that you have, the house, the real estate, you still can't separate. You still saying, let's compromise our integrity. Mm-hmm. You still saying, don't say too much. Even though in my mind, I'm thinking, damn, you rich. You got the power to separate. So for us, we have to think about what free really means. See, some of us, we may be on this planet, but we may be freer than those who are millionaires. I can get on YouTube right now and say what I want to say because I ain't got no strings attached. Mm. I can get on Facebook right now and say what I want to say, and I ain't making nowhere near what Steve is making or what some of the rappers are making, but we can speak freely as men. We have real peace. Yeah. And lastly, I want to end with this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was talking about what success is. That's why we gotta make a standard. Success ain't, see, this is how we get confused sometimes with God. Because we may say, now how Donald Trump, he's so wicked, but he got cars, he got money, he got a home. How come God blessing him? You know, he's successful. Oh, this person here, he's selling drugs, he pimping women, but he got a car, a house, he's successful. The minister said, that ain't success. A devil can have money. A devil can't have a car. Right. Success is the principles and the morals that you kept on that journey. Yeah. So you may be making $2,000 a month, but your integrity that you kept, that's what made you successful. So that's how we have to
Let me say something. Man, you said something finally clicked in my head after all the years of us doing this show, that how you talked about that you were 40-year-olds, I mean $40 million slave.
And so now, remember the football player came on and broke that down.
Yeah, but now that I think about it, we got all these millionaires. And when we think about blackface, and we think about Gucci and all these different clothing brands, when we think about all these different, and I understand. We like nice things, so don't get it twisted. Everybody's entitled to like what they like. But when I really think about it, are we really just giving our money? You really don't have $40 million because if you got $40 million and you give it right back to the white man with the car, with the house, with the clothes you wear, just think about it. If I'm buying Gucci, I'm just buying all your name brands, I'm buying all your cars, I'm doing everything, but everything I spend goes right back into the white man's hand.
Right.
Yeah, I think about that even when they give settlements. They kill our people and say, oh, we'll give you $1 million. Or somebody, oh, you've been in jail for 32 years innocently. Oh, I seen that. Dude was in jail 39, 30-something years, and they granted this man just $1 million. Mm. So to me, they know we don't really own nothing. They know we ain't got no real estate and stuff like that to where we going to get the money. So they know, oh, he going to spend it back with me anyway. So I always seen that trick where they pay somebody off when they call that Jesse, but they know the money going to come right back, same with the lottery. Most people who win the lottery because they wasn't ready for it and their mindset not ready for that money go bankrupt, meaning the money went right back to them.
Well, you know, I wanted to, there's an analogy I like to have. I was talking about legendary opportunities, right? And in moments in life, you can destroy everything that you've done, you know. And, you know, during the whole Steve Harvey thing as well, they did the play-by-play of Muhammad Ali and Steve Harvey, right? And so Muhammad Ali was talking about standing on principles and integrity regardless of situation and circumstances. And then they played the Steve Harvey talking about, you know, you can give up that integrity to get to your money and your advances. And, you know, Muhammad Ali didn't know social media was going to be around. He didn't know what he was saying it was going to be played later on, you know, 20 years later for when somebody is a jackass and talking about not being integrable.
Right.
But that made him a legend.
Right.
All the things he did in the ring, that's not what made him a legend. I quantify a legend as, you know, an energy that never dies.
Mm.
So that energy that you put out here when your finite body is gone, it continues to live on, and it continues to help and usher in moral and integrity and principles in other people and add value within their lives.
Right.
But Steve Harvey not thinking about his legacy, obviously. He's thinking about the present moment. You know what I mean? He's thinking about just getting this bad stuff. Because if he was thinking about his legacy, he would have thought about how 20 years down the line, the same way we looking at Muhammad Ali old clips and saying that man was a terrible boy. We're going to look at his clips and say that man had no integrity.
Why?
And it's not to say that his entire life wasn't feel like this. We're talking about sound.
create these opportunities to destroy your legacy.
Right.
You understand me? But see, that's why self-image is very important. Because if you see yourself as an terrible man, then you will only do things that will fix that self-image that you have within.
Right.
But our people can see themselves as being terrible. Our people don't see themselves as being the gods of this planet Earth. Our people don't see themselves as being the bosses, as being the ones that control things.
Right.
We see ourselves in this caste system of being artisans or politicians and musicians and having some place within the world. And
right.
So in the African caste system, it's the oppressed people, it's the people on the lower rank and the lower class, the ones that were slaves and things of that nature. Those were the only ones that were the true revolutionaries.
Right.
Because they had the spirit of destroying the current world because they had no place in it.
Mm.
So they was able to, if the old world is destroyed, then they got everything to gain off the ashes of it.
Right.
But if you are still, if you have a gain within this world, you don't want things to be destroyed because you lose all of the so-called power that you believe you have. And the position and the maintenance of that allows you to, you know what, I don't want to be that dangerous to this world. I don't want things to change too drastically too much. Because if you're a celebrity and you got millions of dollars, and the way me and Brother Ben talking about we want this old world to go out and a new world to come in, that means that we want all your power and your money to go out as well. But that means you would have to sacrifice everything that you currently have, everything that you currently maintain, so that a new world after you can be brought into, so further future generations can do better than just the one in this current moment. And not a lot of people are willing to sacrifice in order to get what they want. You know what I mean? And
right.
Us as a people, we too short-sighted, the Gucci boycotts. We can't do no 3 months. That doesn't matter. That's a wait period. That's
right.
Not a boycott. You can't give people terms to wait. That's a season of a fashion brand.
I think that two things. I think that T.I. T.I. only did that or put that out there because he knew that going the long haul many wouldn't do. I'm pretty sure he's probably going the long haul. Other people took it very seriously, but for he kind of viewing for what it really is, you know, when it comes to the culture, he's like, hey, can we at least ban for this amount of time to make some type of a statement? Because he already knew that we wouldn't go the distance. And my second point, I just want to kind of bring it back to that point, to my Steve Harvey real quick before we go to the next topic. Yet again, in the movie Roots, all right, slave master rapes Kunta Kinte's daughter, had a child. The child grows up. The child is the only slave on the plantation that's bright-skinned, right? He's close to the master the whole time. He's fighting chickens for the master the whole nine. My nigga, the whole part of that movie, he was reminded he was a nigga the whole time. As a matter of fact, he was reminded he was a nigga so much that when the master goes to the chicken fight to gamble, the master said, watch this, I got you. Listen, if you win this fight, I'll set you, I'll make you a free man. So boom, what you think is gonna happen? So, you know, he out there, he's praying to God, he fights the chicken, and then guess what, he wins. And then he start thanking God, and when the music come on big and beautiful, I'm free. I'm a freeze man. He's smiling, everybody excited for him, and guess what? Master had the whole little written out thing for him that he's free. So he's all good. Watch what happened. Then when that happened, the guy came back, the guy who lost said, hey, what's up with it? Let's do a double down. You said, we bet $10,000, let's bet $20. No, let's do 20. Let's do $20,000. Master ain't got $20,000, but Master, because of his ego, running. All right, now slave, get out there and handle your business. He get out there and he lose. He loses everything. He lost, the money, the debt. Master didn't have it. That means his plantation gone. The slaves gone. He's done. And guess what Master say? Master tells him that he will repay, he will consider this debt paid if I give him to you. If I give you as a slave to him, he will consider this debt paid. And he said, no, I'm free. No. He said, no, watch what happened. Then, so now he's janking him up. Because remember, the master is really his father. Mm-hmm. Let's not miss the context. The master is his father. When he starts janking up his dad, now both are janking up each other. Now the other white men come behind him and start janking on him as well to pull him off of the white dude. My nigga, here's his final words. Come get this nigger off me. They yank him up, put him on the back of the wagon. Y'all actually walked in on that scene. Put him on the back of the wagon, chain him down to the back of the wagon,
and sent his ass on to London. The niggas were from London. They was in somewhere in the South. My whole point is, the shit's deep, and I'm doing more homework on it, and I'm digging more, I'm purposely digging more into it, and the shit is very, very deep. And I'm sorry, I got so detailed in that story, I apologize.
Like,
but
you know, shit. That reminds me of the rappers today. Because you see a lot of these rappers get in trouble, and then they just thrown away and discarded because they don't realize that they're just a product to them.
Right.
I mean, you're only valuable as long as they can make money off of
right.
you. And so they get you to sign these contracts and you just become a product. We're going to put money into our product.
Right.
But once the product is no longer selling, we're going to move over to another product. But you think they love you because they put money into you. You think they love you because they give you distribution and marketing.
See all that,
but
bro.
Let you come in trouble, and then they go, daddy going to let you know that you just a product.
What?
You're just a nigga to him. You're just a boy. You're just
same
a thing.
It's the same way in football, though. Because I even heard, like, my friend over in the NFL, he said, you get hurt. Once you get hurt, you're done. They throw you away.
Exactly.
That's
you
why
you
football,
try to come back to your people.
And that's why football more than I guarantee you. Because
they know
you.
They know
you get a major injury, they will throw you right out. They will use you and abuse you.
Right.
Period. Until you cannot benefit them and their organization no more.
Right.
And then you're done.
You are reminded that you own them. And like I was telling a young lady just the other day, it was like, you know, slavery, you know, was physical. And then I say, in my opinion, it went corporate. Because it's the same rules and regulations, in my opinion. You know, you show up when I tell you to show up. You do what I tell you to do. You go to lunch when I tell you. You come back late, like, where the hell have you been? Who you think you is on this clock? You work for me. So I need you to show up on time.
And the fact that the knowledge is out there about the 13th Amendment, mm-hmm. like that should be motivation for no black man to ever commit another crime, period.
Period. You know what?
That should be motivated.
That was actually a
post. Well, circumstances, I think, drive that.
True.
To do that. But not all crimes are just purely, oh, I just want, it, well, most of not just, I want to commit a crime. A lot of them are out of necessity from situations that's cultivated and created.
I agree.
So I don't think nobody wants to go to jail, but, you know, environment's stronger than nature. It is our nature to be righteous individuals, but the circumstances can cultivate us to do things for our survival, but we can create the conditions for our survival,
exactly.
And that's the dangerous thing. But on the point about jobs or corporate or slavery and all that, it, you know, solution-based thought process is that anything you do, you're supposed to use that as a stepping stool. You know, when I was working a job, I stole the information from them so I can do for self. You know what I mean? Whether you become a football player, whether you're in the acting industry, you're supposed to take that and figure out how you can invest and you can do for self.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you're not getting into it for yourself and you're thinking that you get into, you like people buy into other people's dream.
Right.
And that's their dream. My dream is to work inside your dream. But my dream was to create this business. Now you saying it's your dream to come work inside this thing that I created. No, you're supposed to always have your dream in mind. And how you're going to take bits of somebody else's dream to help build your own. But if you're not going in there with that mindset to do for self, then you're going to do for others. And whatever they do unto you, that's your fault.
Mm. No, man. We saying a lot, man. It's a lot of heavy words going on. It was, and again, you know, I'm still new to the information, but I'm still, you know, purposely diving into it. The same thing I'm seeing that was going on 300 years ago is going on today. It's shifted, but it's the exact same thing, bro. I'm gonna ask y'all this real fast. You know, so again, with watching this movie series, how did a white man go to a foreign country and take over? Now this is one thing that was been hitting me. Cause I'm like, whoa, how? And as the movie kept going, it was plain sight for what I seen. It was because we was already divided. Before they even showed up, we was already divided.
Mm.
We was already fighting amongst each other. We was already selling each other for resources and goods and guns, and we was already against each other.
So what do you think was the root of that?
But they exploited that.
No. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying. I'm just addressing the fact of. What would have happened if Africa stood firm?
And but see, to that point, that's why it's dangerous when, you know, you allow any unrighteousness to be cultivated in your activities, because a person could be able to
village is a 100, they all truthful people. It's just 1% that's a liar and that's a thief. Well, they can pull that thief and then have them create mischief in the mix of other people and then get them to sell out everybody else.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it's about all of us cultivating that righteousness within each other. You know what I mean? So that we can see what's happening in the world that we're doing currently.
Right.
And then we know not to ever go backwards into that unrighteousness. The same way this manifestation of us living in America allows us to study this situation as we're going through it. So that we can teach the next generation how to grow through it. Because we keep going through these situations instead of growing through them.
Right.
And if we were growing the whole time, it's meaning that we were learning. We were like scientists studying, experimenting, doing better, getting better results each and every time. And every generation will be better and better than the next. And so it'll be impossible for them to use those same old dirty tactics of technology to bring us down again. At this point, we're supposed to have superior master degrees of the white man tactics. And at the same time, we should know how to use those same tactics within righteousness. Because the white man gives us blueprints to success. The LGBT, the Jewish community, if they want to stick together on a particular point, you're not getting nobody to waver. They want to boycott some shit, nobody's wavering. They take a list of items, which creates their agenda, then they mobilize power behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it's in political, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in organizations, whether they create events, you know, whether it's in the media, they make sure that they hit all points to make sure that they have the particular power that they want in order to leverage that power to get the desired results because they know how to organize together. But our people think that we're supposed to be assimilated into this world that we live in so that we can become accepted by those who were the ones who shunned us in the first place.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that we don't need their acceptance. Well, I'll get my own, so therefore I have my own power. And if you do something wrong against me, I have the power to treat myself correctly.
Well, let me address somebody. Now, again, I am still fairly new with my study regarding my own history as a black man in this country. But Bruce Lockett says it was fear as into why the white man was able to take over. Now, I can't say that was true or not true. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But hold on. But from my homework, I don't see fear. Now, I could be wrong. I can be right. I can be left. I can be diagonal. But I don't see that we were scared. We fought that whole damn me way. All through the ship. All through everything. I don't see us being scared was an issue. I see us already being divided. You know, if I'm right beside my floor a little wet. If I'm right beside Trey and I'm selling you out, and you selling bro out, and you selling brother big, and we're always selling each other out. You know what I'm saying? And anything that's divided gonna fall. And even to this day, Africa's still divided.
Mm.
Why is Africa? How many countries over there?
Muammar Gaddafi tried. They killed him.
I bet they did. I bet they did. You know. So. From what I'm seeing through my studying is that it was division. And just like when you come into, you know, to Dallas, we know got South Dallas, Oakland, different hood. All this division for what? For what? One thing that the white man got together, there's no real division on the end. If you're white, you're right. You're white.
Yeah, you're white.
You're white, you in that thing. Now here we is, the yellow dude, the dark skinned dude, we always divided. And even before the white man came, through my studying, we was divided then.
But you divide to conquer. It's conquer and divide. It's not just come and divide. They fought wars even in Africa to keep the white man
out. I agree.
Like through Hannibal Barca, and then Cyprio Africanus came in there, and then he was able to, he won at the Hannibal Barca, did his retreat. Yeah, you know I mean, because Hannibal Barca was one of the most successful generals in history.
Right.
As his military campaign against Rome.
Right.
And Cyprio Africanus was the one who was able to conquer that part. And at that time, you know, I believe they said it was called Ethiopia fully at that time.
Okay.
But here's the thing about Africa is that it was all under one name. As we talk about Elijah Muhammad, it was all under Asia. So everybody identified themselves as Asiatic individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't until landmasses became conquered and people started naming, oh, that's Africa over there, that's Ethiopia over there, that's Nigeria over there, that's Uganda. Now the people started to become separated, saying that I'm different from you. You Wutu, I'm Tutsi. You know what I mean? And when you have that divide and conquer, we can say, well, the Wutus are a little better than y'all. You know what I mean? They say y'all lying thieves. You know what I mean? Those are the grand people that deserve everything in this country. We're going to make them higher class. We're going to make y'all lower class. So it was conquer, then divide. You know what I mean? But conquering always starts in the mind first. You know what I mean? The physical conquer, you can always get over that. So that's why to add on to your point about John Logan, don't know about Muhammad, so they put fear in one of those little boys. You know what I mean? So that took time. We not, you know, a lot, there was a lot of slave rebellions throughout, you know, slavery. There wasn't no just one. It wasn't just Nat Turner. There was many of them.
Oh, right,
but
right,
the fear that they had in this as little boys is the reason that a lot of men today grow up with that fear, and they grow into that fear as grown males.
Being conditioned.
You understand me? And I qualify that male because we got to put standards on manhood to say that you cannot be fearful of the white man and we consider you a black man. You are a black male. You are a black boy. But when it's not until you grow out of that fear, you become a protector, a provider, and a producer, that you qualify for the manhood title of being a black man.
Right.
You understand? Because that means you have a black mind, and black being the essence of all colors, we're talking about the original mind, the natural mind.
Right.
So if you have a natural mind, then you are a black man. You understand? We're not talking about nationality. We're talking about the frequency and the color of your mind, the strength and condition, the principles that you uphold. But a lot of our young boys, in marketers, I'm reading this book on marketing right now, and it's about how neuroscientists are able to condition babies to buy brands, you know what I mean, or want brands, so when they become adults, they continue that same cycle of getting into those brands. And so they get into, what they do is they get into the woman, the pregnant women, they market to them, and then some of the brands get into the amniotic fluid, like the stuff that they eat through the nose and the mouth, and then that baby grows a taste for it, and then to shut that baby up, the mother buys that brand for them, and then as they get older, that becomes their comfort food, that becomes a thing that they buy.
Right.
So the point of it is that a lot of these things are happening on a subconscious level before a lot of people are even born. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And so a lot of these men are growing into fear, and it's not until somebody comes and shift them out of that fear and gives them that confidence that you are God, that you're giving them that self-knowledge to where if I believe I'm God, how the hell can I be afraid of a devil?
Right.
Now, how can I be afraid of any system? Like, I've been through a trial and fought the whole thing. You know what I mean? Through over a six-month period, and that was only because my mother and my father taught me I was a God. So therefore, I had this ultimate superior confidence, and I used to think all the time, like, and maybe I was crazy in a lot of situations, I would always think, what would God do? I remember being shot at, and I was like, oh, this ain't my time to die, I'm a God. Now, of course, you're not supposed to be used in that manner. You know what I mean? I believe you're supposed to be, first order is having knowledge, not ignorantly putting yourself in a harm of danger, believing that you're invisible.
Yeah, I'm not going to put your in my head.
Nah, I'm a God, you can't kill me.
Yeah, we're going to you, bro.
The confidence worked when I was younger. You know what I mean? So that it becomes a filter. So if all of these things that they telling you, you a nigga, you ain't shit, you can't do this. They instilling all of these fear, they filling all these negative self-images.
Right.
But remember, you got the superior image that I'm a God. So that God image becomes your bulletproof. So whatever the world throws at you, it's not going to pierce the armor of your godhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important that the young men, you know what I mean, and the young boys know that they're gods at a young age, because if that's their image, then that's what's going to be their outer reflection of growing into that godhood.
And to quickly, you talked about even in the womb, Dr. Wesley talks about how a lot of the things that the women are on while they're pregnant is actually feminizing the males and masculinizing the men. Same thing with the weed. A lot of people don't know about that, the high levels of THC. A lot of times, of course, the CB oil is good and the natural cannabis. But we're talking about the high THC level, high mess with your testosterone. And the reason I bring that up is because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad also gave us, you know, the lessons from Master Far Muhammad, which basically says in the English lesson C1, why does he fear now that he's a big man?
Mm.
And it's because the devil taught him to eat the wrong foods. Now, the wrong foods, a lot of these foods have things in us that messes up our testosterone and throws us off and makes us more feminine, which is what 19 Keys always talks about a lot with the 1 and the 9. You know, it makes us more feminine than being masculine. So now we're fearing certain things. We're fearing men. We're fearing all kinds of different things. And then we also don't have the knowledge of it. I think that's what it actually means in the Bible when it talks about there was a man or a boy in the Bible, and he saw a group of men, and they looked like trees, or they looked like giants. Then Jesus came in and said, put spit on his face, or he put his hand over his face. Now he sees them as they are, as men. So for what that means to me is somebody came and gave them knowledge itself. Somebody came and woke their eyes up and gave them a type of knowledge that woke them up from the condition or the mindset that they was in, where they can see people as they are. Like Brother 19 Key said, when you realize that you are truly a God, and that you are the original man and woman at this, and all these people came from you. This has nothing to do with hatred, has nothing to do with anything other than biology, and this is actually science that everybody is grafted from the original black man. Now, you can see how powerful they are with the limited wisdom that they have. They only have certain books of the Trichnology. The limited wisdom that they have. Look at what they able to build. So we came together and united as one. Right. That's why we are taught that 98% of our problems can be solved if we just united.
That's
the Elijah Muhammad said our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. Why? Because it don't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Hebrew. Man, we all one, and once we come together on that one accord, and we can do plenty, we can do much. Like, for example, somebody said one time, look at how much money we can come up with when somebody dies. You come up with that money in 7 days. How come we can't do that and be proactive? Our people so much are so reactive sometimes.
Right.
We should be proactive.
Right.
You mean to tell me your mother died and you didn't know she was going to die? Y'all scrapped out, y'all hustled together to get the money for the funeral, but we can't come together as a family and say, man, let's get $10,000 within a month. And then we do something productive before something happens. You know, so a lot of times in our community, we show our power only when something happens. So when Trayvon dies, now we all come together. When Mike Brown died, now we come together. How come we can't come together because it's just something we're supposed to be doing?
Bro, what I'm seeing, it's funny y'all saying this, bro, like real talk. What's happening today is the same exact thing that was happening back then. We have been conditioned. And it's good, you know, brothers like ourselves and many more out there, you know, in America, who is waking up. Like, man, we got to come together. We got to do it. Even at the bare minimum, if it's just showing that black men can come together for something positive, that type of narrative needs to be put out there, because I'm no black men watching. I am not your enemy. I'm not against you. All I want to do is uplift and support and bring, you know, share love and receive the same respect in return. Bro, again, I would just encourage, if anybody's watching this feed, if you have not been studying your history and knowing what we, it's one thing to know about it. Well, that was back then. No. If you can just go back 200 or 300 years and just immerse yourself, get muddy with it, throw it all over you. I guarantee you, once you come from that mud and you raise your head, you can identify all the nonsense going on today. And I am a product of that. As I still learn, I'm identifying it. I'm identifying Steve Harvey was no better than the mixed child in the home. He was no different. You thought that you was better. You wasn't better. You was still a nigga. You was still a nigga. And you was a blood child of the master. Then get this nigga away from me. You still a nigga, bro. You gotta. The only man in the movie that was free was Kunta when he first came to the land. Mentally, he was still Mendingo. He didn't get the customs. He didn't understand why there's 200 slaves and one white dude on a horse. Brother, you would have been dead a long time ago where I come from. Hold on, man, bro, I know, man, just from what I'm saying, Kunta didn't get it.
Right.
He didn't understand. Why are we not killing these people? What are you talking about? We kill back home, we kill. We don't play that back home. You know what I'm saying? We don't play none of that back home, brother. Now all of a sudden, I mean, and we are outnumbered when we fight type. You know what I'm saying? Now it's one and it's 200 of y'all, and y'all not fight.
But see, Kunta was a Muslim and he already had a God that he feared. So it was against his way of life to even fear the white man. It was against his way of life to even work and to be subjugated to the white man, because he already said that, you know, fear no one but Allah. And he already was going to be a slave for Allah, so he couldn't be a slave for another master, because that means that you was making him your God instead of Allah. And you was being subjugated towards that fear.
Right.
And, you know, I always said confidence is the ability to hold on to truth.
Right.
And when you're confident, it also instills courage. Courage is the ability to act in the face of fear.
Right.
You understand me? But that does take that masculine entity, because the masculine slave, and this is even Wikipedia, it is, they always say that the Muslim slaves were the hardest ones to make into slaves, because they had their own way of life already. They had their own God already. You know what I mean? They were warriors, protectors, fighters, producers.
Right.
You understand me? So it wasn't until, of course, they robbed them of religion, robbed them of their language, robbed them of, you know, their everything, until that's when they was able to condition them and make them enslaved. On a subconscious level.
Right.
We're not talking about conscious, go work for me in physical one. That I'm not a slave. That I'm you know, I'm fighting
right.
against some physical, but when you are a subconscious slave to where there's no borders on the plantation and you ain't ran away, clip and shot him, that's when they got you. Yeah. And there go what Sue, as Miss Farrakhan was talking, I forget who he was quoting, but he was saying during the Savings Day address we just had, was that they wanted to take every bit of the light out of the black man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And once they did that, then that's when they no longer had to worry about him. That's when he will become a slave catcher to his own people.
What? Yeah, he said, I forgot which white man he was talking about. He said they, the white guy said they closed every avenue for light to get into basically the black man's mind or something like that. Light being enlightenment.
If I can really fast before we jump forward, I'm going to say one last thing regarding this topic. And I apologize. I'm just real passionate about it.
Well, it sounds good. You're going to have me watch it.
Right. I'm going to watch it because he done gave a whole documentary
on it. I think he did. He got an affiliate link somewhere, man. He getting paid.
Not in pizza, but we talking about the subject. He got his own subject.
But one final thing, and it's regarding black women. And I'm all good for it. But as I immerse myself within what's going on, what's crazy is that our women went through the pain and endured the pain right along with us. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, they still stuck by our side as we was going through the nonsense and the beating, along while she was getting beat and raped. There's a scene, I'm going back to the thing, but as they're on the ship coming over to America, the white man on the top boat says, bring me the woman I like. And come to find out, that's the same woman Kunta was gonna marry back at home. Kunta's whole face went left. Fuck you mean? And the top dog, who come from his tribe as well, was like, not yet. I know, he's like, I want to kill him. Long story short, the white dude just bring her up when he feel like it to just rape her. And guess what? And, hold on, and watch this. The black woman wasn't laying down. When they pulled her up the first time, in Antoine's words, she was like, fuck that. Picked up the helm, swing her, pop. She tried to kill niggas. She tried to jump off the boat. Death is more powerful. I'd rather die. Nigga, the woman was, and watch this. As the scene progressed, because the white man wanted the slave to get on top of the ship and move their limbs a little bit because they've been laying and been hog tied the whole damn time.
Yeah.
So they had a little period of time where you get up, move your limbs. You know, we wasn't hearing it. So the head guy started doing African hymns. But what they was doing, watch this. What they was doing was, as they're singing their hymn, they're talking in African. The white man don't understand African. They're talking in African, and they're singing hymns on how the fuck we're going to take over this motherfucker. As they're singing the hymns, behind the other wall was all the women. And they're coming in on the chant as well. So we're singing to each other on how to kill this dude, on how to take over this ship. And then as the woman was saying back to us, as she was planting little swords and little weapons in the basket to bring up front. My whole point is real simple, dude. You know, as we kind of progress now, fast forward, your boy RZA Islam, I support, hey, just let him know. I rock RZA Islam, bro. When he was talking to Nick, and Nick was talking about the white woman, we never could have her. Brother, when you go back, again, I'm a product of this. When you go back and you start looking into what was really going on, why would you want her? Mm. The white woman was the woman. Back then, I'm taking what I'm studying, she was the one who snitched on you. She was the one to come put the moves on you. You know what I'm saying? To come say whatever the case may be, and then turn around and say that you raped her. This is going on back on the plantation. You see what I'm saying? And long story short, fast forward in here, man, hey. The black woman has been with us the big and thin.
Facts.
She has been raped. She has been molested. We can do nothing about it or we'll be killed. They had a whole system against us. So when it comes to this whole new level of respect for my woman, it's there. It's going to continue to grow. And I hope that our women can, again, men as well, go back and immerse yourself in our history and then bring it back to 2019, fast forward it right back, so we can start understanding where all this pain is. It comes from somewhere. You follow me? It comes from somewhere. It's not just, oh, we just woke up this way. You know what I'm saying? This was pushed on us. And hopefully it'll give you a new self-respect for yourself, your loved ones, your one, your brother who look like you, and also your fellow sisters, man. Real talk.
You know, there's a beautiful thing that's happening today. And it is the women's uprising. And the uprising of the woman represents the uprising of the nation. The uprising of a cosmic shift, a spiritual shift.
Right.
You know, and it's also going to represent the upgrade of the next generation. So when we look at, when we talk about, you know, slavery, if we want to relate that, in order to make a slave, you make them on a subconscious level. And you talking about the subconscious mind, in the scientific terms, is being engendered as the female mind, where emotion and the storehouse of memory is. And that's where you impression ideas, that's where you impression fear and things of that nature, right? And so when we're talking about the shift that are happening now, we're talking about a shift on a subconscious level. When a woman is rising into position, when we're dealing with things like Me Too movements, when we're dealing with things like pedophilia, when we're dealing with things like women's rights, you're talking about very the emotions of our society starting to rise up, and then rise up above emotions into the thinking of God was more so that logical and reasonable mind, was more so that male mind. And so that matriarchal shift has to happen in order for us to get back into position of where we need to be. You understand me? So those things that we, you know, hear about where women will complain about things, in reality, men didn't take them that serious. We didn't have the level of empathy to understand the plight of the woman. You understand me? But now you're seeing a lot more men growing into a maturity, into what I like to call divine masculinity of the higher mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now you can understand why this subconscious shift needs to happen, because now a lot of men are thinking like women and a lot of women are thinking like men.
Facts.
And so I call that the one in the nine mind, as he brought it up. That one mind being logic and reason and consciousness, where you have that conscious thought. And that subconscious mind, of course, being emotional, logic, that female brain. You know what I mean? Anything that's producing a feeling of expression. You know what I mean? That's that female. Not even in the gender sense of it being part of anything to do with a woman, but the energy of the female. But it's important when you look at the shift that's happening, and that's why I call it a beautiful thing, is because the fact that the woman is rising is also he that the man needs to rise up and continue to grow as well.
True.
You understand me? But this is going to be great for our future children, because if they even start to grow into confidence and they're not growing into fear and insecurity, they're not going to produce that into the next generation. You understand me? Therefore, the man needs to be right there on the side of that woman, growing as well, so he can be in a household with that child, cultivating the next God to the next generation. But if now that this shift is happening on the subconscious level, we're able to fully immerse ourselves out of the slave paradigm, the slave master's paradigm. And now that our woman has risen back up from going through all these years of degradation, and we seeing her being raped, which is also still in our eyes of seeing the value in our own women, because they went through the struggle of standing next to us, that we looking at them as if they're degraded and I'm not as valuable as they're supposed to be. And to the point of, when, of course, white women are not a prize, just because you are, somebody says you can't have something doesn't mean that you need it. Mm. You understand me? It doesn't make it more valuable. It just means that you're restricted from it. You understand me? And I was watching an interview of Dr. Weston. He was talking about how white women or black women are always being sexualized, the Jezebels of the community.
Right.
You know what I mean? The twerkers, that everything that has to do with a black woman is sexualized.
Right.
And we see that, of course, is enough to showcase that. And the white woman was always so-called seen as this purity. You understand me? The thing to go after, this princess in Disney or whatever it may be. And if you look at the juxtaposition of that, it's dangerous when we allow the narrative that our black women are only sexualized mad women in this society, instead of looking at them as what they truly are, which is our gods on our side.
Mm.
You understand me? And it's not until we flip that narrative, not on the conscious level, to say, oh, I love black women. That's not enough. The narrative has to be switched on a subconscious level to really love black women. You know what I mean? I'm talking about all complexions, because a lot of brothers can only love light-skinned women. You know what I mean? Not everybody can love a dark-skinned woman because of how you've been programmed.
Oh, I can. I'm sure
this panel can love a dark-skinned woman.
The longer in the oven.
But also not to only love dark skinned women, but all shades of black women has went through that same condition.
Well, I love them all, but I'm just saying it's a special one. It's a special love for the chocolate.
But when we have that shift to where we, for one, it starts with self love. Because the more we love self, the more we will protect that which is conducive of our self-interest.
Right.
So if the reason you want to cheat on the woman that you with, if you're not going to cheat on the woman that you with, is because, let's say you got a good woman and she's doing great things for you, well, it's self-love to protect that which is in your self-interest.
Mm.
So if you cheat on her, it's self-love to protect that which is in your self-interest, which is your best interest. So if you love self, then you want to treat her right because she's going to keep treating you right. And then if you treat her right and love her, then you want to protect that which comes from her, which is the children. So it's going to create a cycle effect. So it always comes back down to self-love because it becomes your duty to protect your best interest. I think that's a good ending right there.
I like that. I like that. Let me say something real quick. And I just been sitting here thinking, fellas, man, we really have our work cut out for us. And when I say that, I mean, because Brother 19 Keys just talked about how there's an uprising of the black women, right?
Right.
From a social standpoint, and that is so true. But we have to understand that with black women rising, they still need a cover.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That the women still need a cover. And the reason I'm going here is because, you know, we do the mentoring program and we about to get that back started up. But when I look at a lot of young men, they don't really understand the dynamics of being a provider and a protector.
Right.
And so even though women are rising socially, they still have a heart and a place open to be protected.
Right.
And so they're being not purposely put in the spot, but because of their status or because of their position, let's use that for an example, that they might just have to get this energy to protect themselves, and it's not going to be easy for a man just to come in and they relinquish that trust and that energy to a man.
Right, right.
But if a lot of these young men are not being cultivated into being young men, I feel like there's still going to be a conflict and an issue because a lot of men are not being raised by men, and they've been raised in single parent homes. And that is going to be an issue when I look back 60 years from now.
Yeah, it's a huge unbalance.
The key to what you're saying is that every young man in their life needs a man that they can pattern themselves after.
Right.
That's why
I even say that. That's why I'm saying we as men, we have our work cut out to us to duplicate us.
Right. To be examples.
Exactly. And then, you know, when we have sons, or not just with our children, young men that we run into, that we deposit into, and we make sure that we live as examples, but at the same time, duplicate ourselves so that person can duplicate somebody else. So I say that to say is we got to keep pushing the envelope as far as mentoring and being men and doing the things that we've been doing.
Right.
Like straight up.
Right.
Because it's not a lot of those out. It's a lot. But when I look at
all
of
males, not a lot of men.
Exactly, right. That's what I mean. It's a lot, but you know, these women need to be protected at the end of the day, man. So we got to work for that.
So what's the qualifying factor of manhood? At least for me, and I'm not sure how much longer we got, but I always say it's being able to manage yourself. I mean, able to manage yourself, right? When you're a boy, you have somebody managing you. You know what I mean? That's your parents, or i.e. your custodians, or whoever they may be. But as you become an adult, and if you give it the proper context of what manhood is, then somebody tell you it's being a protector, being a provider, being a producer. Then you learn how to manage those things for self. Well, what does it mean to be a protector? Not only protecting yourself physically, but protecting yourself mentally and spiritually.
Right.
And what does it mean to be a provider? Being able to go out there and be a worker and to be able to, you know, bring in what is needed in order to manage yourself properly. So when you, and then what it means to be a producer, producing that which is from your mind into reality, and also being able to produce a child with a woman and produce a family. But it's management is administering the activities to meet obligations and goals.
That's right.
So when you are able to become a great manager of a self, you go from being a boy to being a man. And that's when I qualify. Whatever age you at, it's not about,
you know, 3, 4, 5, 16, 20, 25, 30, whatever age you are able to manage yourself based on the principles and characteristics of manhood, that's when you become a man.
Saying the things that need to be said, and that's why I just really been just over here being a sponge today, because usually I talk a lot, but like I said, we had a guest, and like I said, I've listened to this brother more than one time, and I'm just elated that he's here, and he's just spitting his game, and I like that man age, man, bro, I'm still in that, don't let me know.
It goes for women too, whoa, man.
It's on record, I'm still in
that.
I'm still. But yeah, man.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I've watched your show and seen clips many times.
Yeah,
met you all before I met you all.
Really? Likewise, man. Likewise. So anytime you go, bro, Ben, come on, man. I know you got something up there, man.
Man, 19 Key done said it all.
Yes. Boss Antone, you got something to say,
man, bro? I just want to say, love yourself, man, and love your people, man.
I do have. I don't know where I'm getting one of these.
Oh yeah.
Do I qualify to wear one? I'm just asking. I don't know,
right? We gonna get the brother one right there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna catch me slipping with the crowd.
Man.
He's in the crowd because he's at that man.
Bro, and it matches how I got the drip on. Hold on. It's that real drip.
Follow me on IG, 19_KEYS, Facebook 19 Keys, YouTube 19 Keys, tap into the 19.
Hey, bro, I'm finna go everywhere with this. Like, bro, what's that? I need you texting your, so I can forward people to, put this website in the comments, so people can go buy some.
19 Crowns, you change it? Crowns 19, CROWNZ, you know what I'm talking about?
No, one website.
Oh, yeah, Crowns 19.
I got the matching, too, with the black and white.
Oh.
Don't worry about it,
because
I got some money in my pocket.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Black business, hey! That's the celebration right there.
Hey, we're going to spend some money right now.
All right.
Is that it? All right, welcome to the ministry point. Like I said, we didn't get to every topic, but I think what needed to be said was said. We appreciate all y'all that labor with us, and because we still have over 100 viewers. We thank God, everybody that labor with us and continue to watch. So make sure you like and that you share it. We appreciate y'all, and y'all have a blessed day. Three things we believe that a man should change is your perspective on men, your last name, and your address. And Brother Ben, women should always protect what?
Well, we say that the woman's womb is God's workshop.
Protect that.
Hey. That's pretty good.
Yeah, man. How many you got in our brother? How much on it?
I got a shot.
Where about it?
Sounds on there. Yeah, where it go.
What's the
you are just was working for Bath. We talking about 20 years later, you still got this dress. You gonna talk about that time you got it from 19 keys in a house? Imagine if Malcolm X sold you something. Yeah, that's next level. Those are all handmade right there.
Sorry.
I don't even bring this drip out a lot.
I'm just saying, I didn't say we. Alright, so then what we gonna do?
We'll see your range. I got a change.
Show y'all play.
Yes, sir.
I mean, this is what I'm doing. You know you're only 200, right?
Yeah. I got 100 of them right now.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
That's all I got. I'm broke, everybody.
Nah, you're not broke.
The broke means you don't work. You're not broke. You still work.
Listen, we not even gonna. Listen, we not even gonna.
I'm being funny. They know.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, man. Crown me, man.
That's category 5. I'm not gonna lie.
Now, if you take car, I can pay you.
Yeah, I got
car.
I got a car machine.
Oh.
2019, man. I can't be out here.
Oh, okay. So, we, okay, we got this guy. We got this
word.
I'm
doing
this.
We got
to negotiate.
Hold on,
bro.
Let's work
it out.
I'll work it out. Y'all my brother Ben.
Tacky tips. I go hold the roof.
Yeah, I know, right.
Yeah, you can do off color coordination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Cause let that be. Cause I just got these two.
Yeah, those is a must. Now these is like these are your casual wear, right?
Yeah.
You can throw that on with anything. You can even work out with that.
Right.
This is exquisite taste. You know what I'm talking about? And this is in the middle between luxury and casual because it has that luxury. Embroidered embedded on there.
Right.
That's still passed down.
Okay.
Passed downable, brother.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I wasn't gonna say nothing, but I didn't hear it.
It's passed downable. You gotta credit the language for this drippage.
My computer was still over here recording.